This is...
Well, here we are.
Felger.
What?
And Mass.
The whole team sucks.
Felger and Mass.
Maybe your part in the back is a little bit loose.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
One of the concessions on the offense is sort of, what have you noticed from Josh Gordon
over the
last week?
Just studying his playbook. Every time I see him, he's in the playbook. Just studying and just trying to get better. Gotta ask Coach about that one.
So in case you couldn't hear the questions, first one is, what have you noticed from Josh Gordon, Gronk? And as we said, he's studying his playbook. Every time I see him, he's in the playbook, studying, trying to get better. And then it's reemphasized. They sort of did this with Brady as well last week. It's like, no, what? On the field, Brady was asked, how's his speed? Brady was asked point blank, how's his speed? And Brady said, we're all trying to learn the offense and the routes, which is hardly a ringing endorsement, probably just the opposite. When Gronkowski's asked, anything you've noticed on the field, he says, you've got to ask Coach about that one.
Ask Coach about that one.
So that means Gordon's not out there.
So I think it's one of two things.
He's still not out there.
I mean, it depends on how optimistic or pessimistic you want to be. But I hear it and say, he's not even on the field, or he's not participating with the first team.
That's
or whatever.
That's my worry.
Like,
or
it's
my
that,
wonder, yeah.
Or Belichick's ready to, unload him on a team like he did with Randy Moss and doesn't want anybody talking about it.
So let's remember the Randy Moss thing. He comes here with much fanfare, and then it's like a hamstring. He tweaked something in training camp and after the first couple practices, first week or so, and sat out all of training camp. And remember, everyone was sort of wondering, is this thing going to end before it begins? Are they going to trade him? Are they going to release Randy Moss? And there was all that sort of scuttlebutt. And then he came out against the Jets and just sort of basically
lit him up.
Dangled it right on their forehead. So it's like, that happened with Randy Moss. Do we have faith that it's going to be the same thing with Josh Gordon?
I mean, no. Faith? No. No. Like, if you use the word faith, no.
It's possible?
Yeah, I do think it's possible, yeah, because the guy's ability is off the charts. And so, now again, I'll believe it when I see it. If you're asking me...
Because they were definitely playing possum with Moss.
Okay, like, so...
That's obvious.
If you ask me, what do I think is most likely... I think it's that they're going slowly with him. There's a lot to sort through, and it's going to take a little time.
But based on the talent, yeah, it could happen.
Yeah,
the one touchdown catch he had against Pittsburgh in week one was like, holy crap. Like, he has that kind of ability.
So I don't eliminate the possibility because, again, anytime if now you have a pattern, right? You ask them about the guy on the field, and they won't go near it. They won't go near it. So clearly Belichick told him, keep your trap shut. Because sooner or later, we're going to throw this guy out there and no one's going to know what hit him. So now I don't know if Miami week four.
Either that.
Or week three. Yeah, week four is the way to do it. But maybe it's one or the other.
So that's one possibility. The other is he hasn't even been on the field. And Bill says, just don't talk about what he's doing on the field. Because, I don't know, there's a whole thing around Josh Gordon that Moss didn't have. And that is he's in the program and he's got handlers, he's got counselors and... is there a league mandated thing about how you're supposed to handle him? I think there is. I think that's sort of obvious. I think Bill's caginess, when he's asked how come he didn't play, was it injury related? He says, I don't know. I think that's definitely a tell that there's something there related to being in the program or counseling that he's not allowed to talk about if he even knows in the first place. So there's that whole component that Gordon has that Moss did not have. Moss, he just went, is he quitting? Is he a dog? Okay. Like that's been it with Moss. Gordon... My Lord, a whole nother raft of things. But it's interesting when, these guys are asking. Gronk is asked, how does he look on the field? You've got to ask Coach about that one. So that's now on the banned list, how a player looks on the field. Even just to say he looks good out there. I mean, Gronk didn't even want to say, yeah, he looks good. This is so generic and nothing. And says, there's no ask Coach.
Yeah, the answers are pre-programmed. There's no question they were told how to answer it. Because both of them, the first words out of their mouth for both of them was relating to learning the offense. In the case of Brady, that's what he said. We're all out there trying to learn the offense. Gronk said he's got his nose in the playbook. Right? So clearly, they were told, when you're asked about Gordon, say he's trying to learn the offense. Okay? He's working on the playbook. That's what you say. And they're just saying it. I mean, that's what I think.
So,
now, why? I don't know. But do I think he's going full bore on the practice field? No.
So that Moss example, though, is, it's in the back of your head, and it should be. Is it possible he's just sprung on you, and the next thing you know, he's just torching, like Randy did in week one? It's possible. Okay, back to your calls. Here's our buddy Bob in Easton. Hi, Bob.
you know, this show jumped the shark when social media came into play. And it's funny because, Felga, I still don't think you know what, you know, Twitter is, or, you know, what Ethernet versus Wi-Fi is. Listen, you know, I've been hearing this for 18 years up to the season. I heard that the Ravens, the Broncos, the Colts, you know, the Jets, all these teams are going to be the teams that were going to overthrow the Pats.
I didn't say that this year. Who have I said that about this year?
Felga, just get, I don't have that much time, so don't butt in for a second, right?
But I'm not saying that this year.
I didn't say you. What I'm saying is what I've heard. And the one consistent, or many of the consistent things are, that the Pats have always been on the top, if not right there. So now you, Maz, and Murray, you three nitwits, now what you do is, instead of focusing on the play on the field, which, by the way, every year they go, this team goes through this stuff all the time. You want to talk about dysfunctional, look at the Steelers. That's dysfunctional. But now you care about what Gronk says, or what Gronk's brother says, and if anybody knows anything about what brothers say, it's me. So you guys are going to do that, what they say? And now Amendola?
But again, like, I'm getting in trouble with something I haven't done. I don't care about what his brother said. We haven't spent 10 seconds on it. You've called us on it. We haven't spent a minute on it. I don't care about his brother. I those comments are meaningless to me as well.
All right, but Felga, listen. Amendola, who did, how many games did he play his first few seasons with the Patriots?
Again, regular season, I told you. Doesn't matter
to
me.
Okay, but now he's coming in this week, and all of a sudden, it's a big deal. Should have paid him. What is going on with you guys? They're 1-2.
Bob, what's your problem? Seriously, does this feel the same to you? Like, does this feel the same to you as all the other ones?
I'm letting him go. You don't have to be 1-2. I complained about the Amendola decision the second they made it. Whether you started out 3-0 or 1-2 or 0-3, you should have brought back Danny Amendola. I said it on day one. There's nothing to do with how they've started.
Yeah, I just, the idea that, look, we've been wrong plenty of times. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you we were right all those other times, because the Patriots clearly always righted the ship and fixed it. Does this one feel the same? I mean, you had Rob Gronkowski, and again, I'll tell you what, take the football out of it. You had Rob Gronkowski standing in the locker room after a no-show performance, not by him, by the team, in a game at Detroit, the Lions, like one of the most downtrodden franchises in the league. You had him standing there, asked about blocking a trade and saying, yeah, that happened. Yep, that's what it is. And you're going to tell me everything's normal? Like, this is just another year?
It's different, but no one said that they're buried. I mean, I haven't heard anyone bury him. I haven't heard anyone say it's over. I asked, if they lose this week, is it over?
Yeah.
And I think people have said, yeah.
And I still say no.
By the way, those dysfunctional Pittsburgh Steelers, too, using air quotes, do you mean the same dysfunctional Pittsburgh Steelers that actually have a decent, if not great, maybe the best in the NFL wide receiving core, the same dysfunctional Steelers that had a bit of a comeback win in Tampa on Monday night? Oh, and picked up a giant third down. Oh, no, might have been second down. Either way, they closed out the game. They're not that dysfunctional. Yeah, every team has something going on, but it's not hindering their whole season. But, and they've gotten by without Le'Veon Bell, too.
Again, I haven't put anyone past you yet. I haven't done the John Elway thing. I haven't done the Jets thing. I haven't done the Ravens thing. I haven't anointed that team yet.
The AFC's wide open.
I don't think there is that team. I don't know. Maybe there is. I'd like to glom onto a team and use it to rub in your face, Bob, but I don't have that team yet. Do you? Is there one out there that I could use?
No.
Has anyone passed you?
Wait till the Chiefs game.
So, but I'll tell you what, the Chiefs scare me too, because they looked like a track, you know, like it was a track meet in that first half against the Niners. And then I think you smack them around a little bit and they can't play defense. I don't believe in those high-flying, you know, greatest show on turf teams. I don't. I think inevitably what happens, someone smacks them in the face and it's over. So look, there's a lot of talent there on offense. Like, don't get me wrong, the Chiefs are fun to watch. But can they win it? I don't know. Andy Reid will still be Andy Reid. And, by the way, I just want to amend something I said yesterday when Perillo was here. I said I want to see what it looks like when Edelman gets back. Ask me after week five. Week five's a short week. So what's that? Am I going to have one day of practice, if that, before he gets on the field? I need six. Okay, so I'm even giving you that. They could be 1-4, for crying out loud, and I'm still not going to write him off until I see Edelman in that offense.
Quickly, Dan and Quincy. Hi, Dan.
Yeah, right now they're the New England Seahawks, okay? There's no way any NFL team can exist successfully, go to a Super Bowl, when the coaches and the players are at odds with one another. It happened. That's why I'm not surprised with what's going on on the field and off the field. Look at the off season. One disruption leading up to a Super Bowl can cost a team the game. a whole summer of anarchy by the players, including the number one guy, Brady. By the way, he sucked the last two games, too, and no, none of you guys even mentioned it. Not one. He overthrew Gossett last week, and you mentioned it.
So the one day that we actually mention it and play sound for you and devote 20, 30 minutes to it, you say we haven't mentioned it.
He wasn't listening.
That's so annoying. You don't have to listen, but, like, that's just bad timing. We did. We talked about it.
You don't spend much time on it, okay? He's part of the problem. There's no way this team can be successful when you have anarchy on one side versus the coach on the other side. They're done, in my opinion. I'll probably regret to say it. They're friggin' finished. Finished as an organization. Belichick wanted to blow it up and start over. And Kraft intervened, and that's it. And by the way, Amendola, it's apparent to me that the guy didn't like playing in the cold weather. He said it himself. There's no amount of money that you could have offered him.
Oh, please. He would have stayed.
How much did they offer him, Felga?
Danny, he took pay cuts three straight years. He took pay cuts three straight years to stay in the cold. If he didn't want to be here, all he had to do was say, no, I'm not taking a pay cut, and then release him. And he goes sign somewhere warm. So what are you talking about? And I agree with the dysfunctional part, though. I'm just not predicting anything like you. You're saying it's done. I don't know if it's done. But we're mostly just reacting to what has happened. It's sort of hard to argue with a lot of the stuff. We're just, you know, I'm not looking forward. I'm just looking back and telling you what's happened to this point. It ain't pretty in a lot of cases, including Brady's play. And I agree with Danny. More focus should be put on just Brady simply in a vacuum. How's he looked?
I mean, we did. We went back and looked at those plays. Maybe we should go over the particulars of that in the next segment.
Well, no, we're going to do some Red Sox next, but we're going to put that up on the Facebook page. We'd had Bedard talking about what Zolak talked about today. And we replayed the sound. Don't tell me we didn't spend time on it. We made a point to it. We'll put the pages up on our face, the play up on our Facebook page. The first couple third downs, Brady just flat out missed. Flat out missed. Guys were open. Hogan on that first third down was open. Maybe not epically so, but open. If Brady was on time, he would have been there.
Ball was late and behind him.
And then on the next play, the overthrow to Dorsett? Oh, my God.
High and behind him.
And there wasn't anyone within 10 yards of the guy. He was wide open. Dorsett on the second series, third and 11, was wide open. And Brady just flat out, again, late and totally missed him. So, yeah, we're looking at that. But why don't we get to your Boston Red Sox next, man?
Sure, no, I would very much.
How are you feeling about them? How are they feeling about themselves? How are they feeling about themselves? More importantly, we'll give you a snippet of some of that reaction to themselves and get to your Red Sox thoughts right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
Chopper up the middle, threw for a base hit. The infield was in to score Joseph, in to score VR. So that was quite costly. And now Baltimore has the 5-3 lead.
Specific pitch was
okay. So that was Matt Barnes. Didn't show up in that, but that was Matt Barnes last night.
Your eighth inning guy.
Yeah, and so look, this is what occurred to me as the day unfolded yesterday. And again, you know, at 6 o'clock, to me, the vibe was a little different because David Price had gone out, and Price wasn't great, but they scored 19 runs. Bogarts and Betts had achieved some milestones, and et cetera, et cetera. Price said that he hadn't pitched well. Fine, but then they go out at night. And Sale is supposed to go 6-100 or thereabouts. Well, he doesn't make it out of the fifth inning. He hits two batters in the first. He walked another guy. He gave up 4 hits and 3 runs in the little time that he was on the mound. And then in the same game, Barnes goes out there, pitches a third of an inning, and absolutely sucks. And then Craig Kimbrel goes in there and walks three guys and hits one. Okay, so when you add it all up, And I'm setting you up here, but if you had to say right now, who are the four most important pitchers on the staff?
Sale, Price, Barnes, Kimbrel.
I mean, to me, it is right. There's your two starters
and your eighth and your ninth
closer and your eighth inning guy.
Yeah,
those are your four most important guys on the staff going into October. Yesterday, they pitched 10 1/3 innings. They gave up 14 hits, 13 runs, 8 walks. 2 homers and 3 hit batters. Their ERA was over 11. Okay, and they were all over the place, all of them. Every single one of them. And as you noted before we went to break, it's one thing for us to look at them and say, ooh, they don't look right. But if you listen to all of them or listen to Cora talking about them after the game last night, there's just not a lot of reason there to be confident in any of them.
Alex, can you talk about Chris Sale tonight?
Yeah, I mean, not great. I mean, we don't have too much time, so he'll work on it this weekend, see where he's at, and we go from there.
No, I think we know where we're at and what this is about. So things like this happen, you know, you get out of whack and just got to try to find a way to get back into that groove.
With Kimbrel, was there anything? I mean, he obviously didn't have much. But
Just a bad one.
I mean, yeah, we won. I didn't throw the baseball the way that I wanted to or expected to throw the baseball today.
Can you talk about Matt Barnes tonight and what was some of his problems?
One of those. Just a bad day.
I mean, it's like, I think it's comical. You talk about Kimbrel, it was a bad one. How about Barnes? Just a bad day. David Price? No, I didn't throw the ball as well as I wanted to. Chris Sale? Yeah, I mean, we kind of know where we're at. I got to find a way to get back in a groove. Oh, all right. No problem. When do the playoffs start? 8 days?
Chris Sale said, I'm obviously not where I want to be.
I mean, it is really. You go through all of them. You look at them and you say, that stat on Sale last night, that is the lowest average velocity he has ever had in a big league start. Now, look, again, there's a possibility here that you look at it and you say, he's just holding back. I mean, it's possible. But I don't know. The velocity's gone down three starts in a row now.
Three starts in a row, the velocity's gone down. Alex Cora said before the game he's going 6-100. He went 4 2/3 in 92, and he's never thrown softer in his major league career. 90.1 was his average fastball, and it's gone down by the start. Sale's four-seam fastball velocity. Source, Baseball Savant, I'm reading on the Boston Globe. It went from 96 to 94 to 93 to 90, the lowest of his career. So you tell me your thoughts.
I mean, so look, I'm alarmed. Again, I'm alarmed. I thought that just this start would be the one where Sale aired it out a little bit. You get 8 days to go here.
That's why I don't allow for the possibility that some people are what you just said. Oh, well, maybe he's holding back a little bit. He didn't hold back against this very team the first time he came back from this flare-up. Remember, he struck out 10? He was throwing in the mid to high 90s. It's like, oh, okay, he's back. And then he's on the DL again. No, he's not right. He's not right.
I mean, so
after the game, too, the manager even saying, like, he's not, what do you say about his hips? His hips aren't flowing correctly.
He's not firing them correctly.
They're concerned.
Yeah. See, that's what I think, too. I think that the concern is legit. And as, you know, in the limited time we've seen Cora, he doesn't feel like someone who sugarcoats a lot. Maybe a little. You know, every manager does some, but he's not like Farrell, where he's just spewing crap at you. Like, you're not even close. So I think he gave an honest answer. Like, you know, what do you want me to tell you guys? It wasn't good. We got to figure it out. We don't have a lot of time. And he acknowledges that there isn't a big, you know, there's not a big window there.
So listen, does Kimbrel tell me anything last night? No. I'm going to chalk that up to whatever.
Non-save.
Yeah. A non-save, low leverage, playing out the string. I have to believe in Kimbrel, because if I don't, then why am I even bothering watching? Okay, so Kimbrel, I'm gonna, you know, excuse. Barnes, I excuse in a vacuum because I thought he sucked to begin with. Like, is there something wrong with Barnes? No, he's just not that good.
No, he's Matt Barnes.
He's Matt Barnes. So, you know, they're relying on a guy who's not very good. But since he's come back from his injury, he's been, like, really not good, right?
Yes. I mean, last night was the worst.
So he's been particularly not good. So are you concerned about Barnes after last night? Well, I would tell you I'm concerned about Barnes before last night. So there's no movement there, in other words. David Price? I'm still going to say he's had a great year. He's going to carry that over to the postseason. Last night, again, they scored 19 runs. So, really, did he have to have it yesterday? Fine. Sale? That's different. The ramp up? He didn't hit one of his benchmarks. He was supposed to pitch 40 pitches in the first game. He threw 26. He was supposed to pitch whatever in the second, and he threw less. Last night, he was supposed to ramp up all the way to 6-100, and then we'll see where they're at. And he got to 90 and 4 2/3. So, and his velocity went down each game. The more he ramped up, the softer he was throwing. How do you possibly feel good about that?
You can. And again, like, Sale is the biggest of the four. There's no question about it. I don't feel good about the pitching staff overall on top of it. Like, I just look at the whole thing and I say, Price has kind of been hit or miss here the last few. And Barnes, Forget it. Kimbrel, highest walks per nine in his career, 4.5 this year. And now you've got Sale throwing 90 miles an hour. So now, look, I think the velocity would say, from what I hear, Cora is telling people behind the scenes, don't worry about Sale's velocity. Okay, from what I hear. But then I see Cora up there post-game last night, and I had heard that before last night's game. So then I see Cora up there, and he's going, yeah, you know, and I think, uh-oh, this is going the wrong way. It's mechanical? It's not mechanical. That's bull crap. I mean, there might be a little mechanical thing there, but mechanics are causing his average fastball velocity to go on 5 or 6 miles an hour? No way.
Is it possible they're playing possum?
It is possible, but I'll tell you what I think it is. I think he might be afraid to air it out. I think that Sale's afraid to air it out. Or they're afraid to let him air it out. Because he did it in Baltimore, and he was right back on the DL. So now what? You know, and on the midday show, Beadle and Zoe played a cut from Dave O'Brien saying, you know, well, you know, he's a pitcher
he's
now.
Learning too. How to pitch. Yeah. Yeah, whatever. He's a pitcher now, right?
Which is bull crap. Okay. Now, I'm not saying Sale's just a complete go out there and whip it every time kind of guy because he's got some, you know, some precision to his game. But he's not Pedro, though. Let's not delude ourselves to thinking he can pitch at 89 miles an hour because he can't.
So even if these guys, Ian Brown, downtown Ian Brown from RedSox.com or MLB.com or wherever he writes for now, forgive me if I don't know.
MLB.
Ian Brown. I guess he tweeted out today. So I'm going to tell you, even if Sale, Price, and Porcello are looking great, which they're not, career in the postseason combined, 0-11 with a 6-1-8. So even if they're firing all cylinders, you look at them and go, but you've still never done it when it counts. And now they all, to varying degrees, look like they're not ready to go. So where does that leave you then?
I think they're winless in 19 career postseason starts.
Their whole staff is. So Joe Kelly's 0-3. Pomerantz is like 0-1 or 0-2. So when you add up everyone on their staff, a couple of guys, Shaughnessy said this today, a couple of guys who aren't going to be on the postseason roster. So like Kelly and Pomerantz probably won't be on. But as a staff, as a team, in 19 career playoff starts, they haven't won a single one.
0-19. Yeah, I'm sticking with the 0-19. You know, if they're being paid by the Red Sox, they count. That's the way I look at it. It sounds so good. So bad. 0-19.
So clear cut.
Oh, God. 0-19. Not a win.
0-11 with a 6-1-8 just on your top three? I mean, isn't that enough? What more do you need than that?
I want more.
So how do you feel, Red Sox fans? Team record. First to 100.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear Mookie got 30-30 yesterday?
Oh, yeah. And Mookie got 30-30.
Wee.
Sliding head first into second base with his oven mitt. Because Lord knows that's going to matter.
That was prudent. That was a prudent decision.
When you face the Yankees a week from tomorrow or whoever a week from tomorrow, that's going to matter that he got to 30-30 with his oven mitt. Good Lord. We'll get to that. And game one starter. It's Sale. How do you feel about that? And why do we even know this? This is something that I haven't gotten to. I know a lot of people have, and you talked about on the baseball reporters. But why do we even know who their game one starter is? We'll get to that with your Red Sox thoughts. Mix them in with the Patriots calls right after Murray's update.
Felger and Mez.
Oh.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Well, he's going to pitch tomorrow against the Orioles. That'll be his last start for the season. He will pitch a stretch out again to 90-ish type pitches and be ready to go then to throw 100 pitches for the postseason. He'll be scheduled to start. I don't think it'll surprise anybody the first day of the postseason on the Friday.
Are you ready to announce game one start?
No, not yet. We still have to wait to see how people finish the season.
I know that we've gone over this last couple days, but you have. I haven't gotten to it yet. And I think you said this last night on your baseball reporter's mask, but why is Dombrowski doing that?
Good question.
Like, I don't think it's a big deal. I think he's saying it because it's true. They are going Sale first. And, I don't think there's really anything to see there. I don't think there's, like, you know, they're at odds or there's turmoil or not on the same page. It's just Dombrowski broke with the etiquette. Why?
You got me. I don't know. I have no idea. And whatever it is, they weren't on the same page there.
Well,
or there wasn't communication there about when we're going to announce it or any of that.
Yeah, right. But I just think Dombrowski was asked and he decided to give the answer. To which you said, why? Why are you doing that?
I have no idea. To me, it's the manager's job to announce a game one starter. Like, to me, that's how you do it, especially if the manager's not ready. Like, which he clearly isn't. So Cora says, no, I'm going to wait. Meanwhile, you get Dombrowski saying it on XM Radio. Yeah, it's going to be Sale in game one. I don't think there's any major secret there. Like, I even feel when you listen to the answer, it feels like Dombrowski knows he's speaking out of turn.
Of course he does.
Right? Like he's
because
saying,
he even says, I don't want to spoil anyone's announcement or anything.
Right.
Or something along those lines. So he knows he's not supposed to do that. Why are you doing that?
I don't know. Because he's Dave Dombrowski and he wants to show that he knows everything.
So he's on, is it like a MLB network kind of thing?
I think it's MLB radio. Yeah, satellite.
So he's on like a national show. Who are the hosts? Was it like former GMs or one of
Steve Phillips?
Steve Phillips?
So I don't know if it was Steve Phillips' show, but he's on the network. So I shouldn't say that, but it's that network.
Who's the ex Cincinnati guy?
Eduardo Perez?
I don't know.
So Jim Bowden is.
Yeah, Bowden. So maybe it's a contemporary or whatever, one of his buddies. But, like, you're not supposed to do that.
No, he should have just said, well, you know, I'm going to wait and see on that one. We're still, we got to talk some things out and what have you.
Alex will announce it in the proper time.
Exactly.
Right? Why? I don't know. That just sort of bugs me. Like,
how did he say it to? I don't want to usurp anyone here, but I'm totally going to do it anyway.
Like, what do you want? Why? Why?
Well, because he's Dave Dombrowski and he can do whatever he wants. Like, I'm telling you, there's a level of arrogance with that guy to me that is off the charts.
Okay.
But that aside,
should Sale be the game one starter after what we've seen from him the last four starts with the velocity going down each time and he can't get to 100 pitches yet?
I mean, if there's something wrong with him, no. If there's something wrong with him, no. So, but again, and I give you that caveat because they obviously have information that we don't. But if he's afraid to air it out, and they say, well, we're going to go with him anyway. He's our guy. Like, I'd go Price. If there's something wrong with Sale, I'm not confident in Sale's ability to pitch without throwing 96. I don't think he can do it. I mean, I don't think he's that kind of guy.
And he's tried to, you know, get by with just his slider last night, and he's hitting people. He's all over the place with it.
Yeah, I just don't think it's enough. He plays, you know, the slider's his strikeout pitch. But the fastball is what makes it all work because you're sitting there on your heels waiting for 97 at your chin.
Okay, your Red Sox thoughts mixed in with your Patriots calls. One open line at 617-779-0985. Travis in Boston, you're up next with Felger Mass. Go ahead, Travis.
Yeah, I had something to say about Chris Sale and thinking, you know, in terms of signing him, you know, when we cross that bridge for his contract. I think the only way that we can look at keeping him is that you have to make one of two adjustments, and that's either we start him later in the season. You have to take that in consideration that's a possibility when if looking to re-sign him.
Okay, Travis, let me just stop you. Why do we care about his extension?
I'm not sure we do.
Let's burn that bridge when we get to it.
I mean, I wouldn't give him one right now.
You've got the best record in baseball. You're a World Series favorite. Do you have a chance with the way that he's pitching? Why don't we start with that and then get to the contract? I don't know.
I mean,
the contract's not on my forefront right now.
Yeah, to me, there's a side issue there because he's got 1 year left. So if you're going to sign him, you're going to sign him this winter, I think. But you can wait until spring training if you want. But managing him going forward, that's a legitimate, you know, you're going to have to sit him down for a month in the middle of every season. I don't think that's unreasonable to think that way.
Our most annoying caller is Scott in Weymouth. Go ahead, Scott.
What's up, guys? All right, so a quick side note. I'm going to get to the Yankees really quick. Felger, give me a minute, please.
No.
Okay. All right, guess who's going to win the World Series today? The Yankees. Right now they're up 11-1. It's something called momentum. This team, the Yankees, are coming on strong. And I don't give a heck about the Red Sox record. The Yankees are building momentum. Right now on MLB Network, they're up 11-1. Maz, you could pull it up. What are they in their last 10 games? I would guess 8-2. Do you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, I'm not all that worried about it.
Does momentum at the end? Does momentum at the end of a season matter?
No.
Sometimes it does, but it's not the indicator. Sometimes teams get hot and they carry it into the postseason. The team you beat in 07 for the World Series, the Rockies, is like the best example. They went nuts at the end of the year and they carried it all the way to the World Series, at which point they ran into a much better team and got swept. So I've seen more examples of teams just playing out the string. And then the playoffs start, and they turn back into who they are, being a great team.
I mean, again, I always go to the 2000 Yankees. They went 2-10 in their final 15 games, and then they went 11-5 and won the World Series.
So I don't care about team momentum, but an individual player or a pitcher who needs to ramp up, that I do put stock into. And if they're playing possum with Sale, then I'll tip my cap and give them a lot of credit. Like, well played, guys. Because it doesn't feel like it works this way in, you know, with a pitcher. You've got to build up arm strength, build up, you know, it's a ramp up, the whole thing. And if they're faking it, wow, I'd be impressed. In other words, I don't think they're faking it.
Yeah, nor do I.
So, and it's a long way of saying I think he needs momentum. I think he needs momentum.
I mean, to me, look, that game's largely about confidence. I say largely, not entirely, but it's a significant part of it. How about that? The confidence, you know, being sort of in a good place where you think I can handle anything and I'm on a roll, and that's a big part of it. And if Sale is sitting there doubting right now that he's got 95 in the tank, and honestly, 95 is not even a fair number. It's more like 96, 97 with him. If he knows he doesn't have that, then I worry about Sale's ability to get people out in a big spot.
Meanwhile, the Red Sox obsession with some of these individual numbers perplexes me as well as it does Maz. Long commercial-free segment is next.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
There he goes. He's got it. Here's the throw down. Mookie Betts has stolen his 30th base. He is a 30-30 man.
He got a good jump, but boy, did they make it close. I think he missed the tag there. VR, who cares? It's 30.
I'm copying your takes, Maz, but I agree 100%. I heard you railing about this last night in the Baseball Reporters. 30-30. Can you believe that they tried to get him that and they cared about getting him that?
Unbelievable.
Like the whole organization, Ness and Eck, like they have to play along. My addition to the Globe, I get out in the suburbs, so I'm not saying this was how they ended the night or their last edition Red Sox story.
I know where you're going with this. Yeah, they put this ahead of Sale.
But in my Globe story, the lead was Betts going for 30-30 and Xander Bogaerts getting his 100th RBI. And then they got to the fact that Sale's velocity has gone down four straight games and he could only get through 4 2/3 innings on 92 pitches. They put the stupid 30-30 ahead of what the ace looks like going into the postseason.
I had the same reaction when I saw it this morning. I did. Now, again, I don't know if I think there's an updated version of it online that went up later.
Who owns that newspaper?
The Red Sox, of course. Oh, so this John is what Henry, I'm saying. So this is Nesson coverage, Globe coverage. It's like the whole organization is behind Mookie Betts getting 30-30. It's a special accomplishment, Betts said. I don't know how much it really means, but to have my name as part of a group like that, it's pretty cool. Again, the only Red Sox player previously to do it was Jacoby Ellsbury.
Which should tell you plenty.
Who cares? And the fact that he's one of these guys that go head first, I guess most do. And, you know, he wears the running mitt, which I find fascinating, and I also think is smart. Like, I'm glad. But the fact that the risk of injury is so apparent in diving head first, he's got to wear a mitt out there, and you have the playoffs starting next week, and they care so much about 30-30 that they're risking him in those spots where he's stealing a base in a 19-3 win. It blows me away.
Yeah,
got to be kidding me.
I mean, to me, it defies all logic, and it goes against everything you believe in. Because again, now I look at this differently than I look at the 100 RBI. Because Bogaerts gets into the box, you want him to hit.
He's just hitting.
That's all it is. Right? That's a good way to put it. Just hitting.
He's swinging the bat either way.
So, and if there are men on base, you want him to drive him in. Doesn't matter what the score is, fine. So he gets, I got no issue with that one. And in fact, with that, good for him. I'm glad that it worked out. Like that number, I think, means something on some level to him, probably more than anyone. The stolen base, you got to seek that out. You have to seek that one out.
He stole a base in a game they won 19-3.
So it's
and the Globe led with it. Think of that.
Oh, it blows me away. Again, I like honestly the 30-30 thing I couldn't care less about. I could not care less about it. If I were a fantasy player, I might care about it, I guess. You know, it gets me a guy who can give me home runs and steals.
So on that, would you maybe allow for the possibility that the reason it's front page of the sports section, they want him to do it, they're pumping it up, it's an effort to butter him up. It's a guy they keep going to arbitration with. They want him to win the MVP.
Sure. Fine.
I mean, it's also, believe me, the bigger story is Sale. That should be ahead of this.
Oh, my God.
I found the whole thing nonsensical, but maybe there's something behind it.
What I find the worst is that it's just, when you dive head first into these bases, you're an injury risk. It's just fact.
It just happened to Gregorius with the Yankees.
The fact that he's wearing the oven mitt tells you that
there's inherent danger.
There's inherent risk and danger in the way that he slides. And most of these, he's not the only one. He's far from the only one. But he goes head first up in a game they won 19-3 In a division, they're leading by 10 games with four to go. It's like, you've got to be kidding me. And they all were proud of it. They all, like, Alex Cora talked about it after the game. They're all talking about it after the game. Who gives two poops about 30-30? And frankly, I don't give two poops about 100 RBI, but he's swinging the bat either way, so what's the difference?
I have to think it has to do with something about getting him back here for a long-term deal, because otherwise it's like living on banana land. Like, why the hell does anyone care about
this? Oh, my God, it's so bad.
And I'll tell you, the guy, my guess is, because in Abraham's story, he says that Cora understands that the individual accomplishments mean something to the players. So did Cora go to Betts and said, does this mean something to you? And Betts said, yeah.
So this is how Cora wins favor with the players. I got it.
So, but honestly, this is one of the few things that Cora's done that I don't like. Because to me, Cora should say to Mookie, listen, I know it means something to you, but we can't needlessly have you steal a base just for the hell of it. Because if something bad happens on the play, I'm never going to live it down, and neither are you.
What I would also do is say, you do it, but you have to go in feet first. I'm not allowing a head first slide. You could do that. But, oh, Lord. I mean, they won 19-3 and he stole the base and they led with it. And they, like, is that really what matters? Do you get it? I thought Cora got it. I thought they got it.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I didn't like the fact that they were seeking it out in the final week. And again, independent of the score or anything else, you don't need the game. Would you have him stealing in spring training?
Of course not.
Would you have him doing that at the end of spring training when the season's ready to start?
Of course not.
So again, now I know that we're counting this time, we're counting the stats. But the answer is no. No, you don't put him in needless risk, and that was needless risk.
Okay, there exhaust my Red Sox thoughts. Your phones, this and Patriots, the rest of the way. 617-779-0985. Christian in Foxbury, what do you got for us on the Red Sox, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys? Man, so obviously with Chris Sale being a little questionable and David Price, he likes to take wet, steaming doo-doos in tight situations. Isn't this the perfect time for Eduardo Rodriguez and Rick Porcello make a name for themselves? Thanks, guys. See ya. Hey,
Porcello, yes. I keep expecting him. He's got the look of someone to me that the moment's not too big for and should be able to step up and face the pressure. He just has that, the way he conveys himself, the way he carries himself. I look at him, I say I should have confidence in him. But he hasn't won a postseason start either. 0-4, and so I don't know. I've confidence in him, but I shouldn't. The other ones, Eovaldi or Erod, is it Eovaldi in the rotation?
It feels to me like they're leaning that way. They keep telling everybody over there that it's matchup specific. So that if it's the Yankees, it'll be Eovaldi. If it's Oakland, it could be Eduardo Rodriguez. Rodriguez pitched out of the bullpen last night and actually looked pretty decent. So, you know, to me, that one feels like a coin flip. But, honestly, like when you say it's an opportunity for Porcello to step up, it's an opportunity for anyone to step up. Given what their postseason history has been in the last couple of Octobers, somebody, anybody, please grab the thing by the throat and take charge.
Derek in Foxborough, what are your thoughts on the Patriots?
Yeah, early in the week, you guys are talking about tool bag dolphins. How about Ricky Williams? I mean, the guy quit football because he wanted to smoke weed all day. But on the game, I think they're going to win this game. I don't trust Ryan Tannehill in a big game. I mean, I was a wide receiver in college. And, if they can't stop Ryan Tannehill, they're really in trouble.
Yeah, well, if they can't stop Blake Bortles, they're really in trouble. And they couldn't stop Blake Bortles. They haven't stopped Blake Bortles for two straight games.
Derek's becoming one of my favorite callers. I like this guy.
Do you care to follow up on
it? No, just something. But listen, Tannehill to me should be an easy stop. Like, I just something about his delivery I like. I don't know what it is. But Tannehill should be an easy stop for them. This, to me, becomes about Gase and some of Bedard's guy,
well, this,
Adam Gase.
The stat that Bedard and the Bedardians throw out is Tannehill is 10-1 in his last 11 games with Adam Gase.
11-5 overall with him. He's done a good job with him.
But the 10-1 sounds better, Murray. So I leave out those first four to prove to... You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I drew the line in a better spot.
Yep.
So 11-5, you just hurt the stat.
Truly helping your argument.
So, right? No, you hurt my argument.
Well, he needed the first four or five games to get the offense.
You know, all I'm saying is he's 10-1 in his last 11 games, Gase and Tannehill. I don't know what that means. I don't like those guys either. I don't think they can play, but that's just the number. So is a lot of the stuff with Gase and the Dolphins because Tannehill's been hurt the last couple of years? I don't know. Let's see.
So look, to me, Tannehill is the definition of average. Like, he is just the average guy. But isn't the real story in this game, if you're talking about that matchup, the defense of the Patriots?
Of course.
Who can they stop? Like, again, you talk about, you say, well, the Dolphins, who are the weapons? You know, Kenny Stills, the Jakeem Grant kid has had a couple of good games. You know, Albert Wilson now they got from the Dolphins. But there's really, you know, it's not like you look at the Dolphins and go, wow, what firepower. I mean, but the Patriots defense, they get smoked by Jacksonville, for crying out loud. Like, to me, that's the worry now, is that I'm not sure they can stop anybody.
Felger and Mass. The Sports Hub.